disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Oh God.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Mm-hmm. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Mm-hmm. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
My Lord.
But he that shall endure unto the end,
the same
shall be saved.
Amen.
Preaching tonight on the subject, we're living in the end time.
We are living
in the end time. Shall we pray, Father, tonight? I'm glad for everything I've heard. I'm glad for the spirit that's so real and sweet right now. And I pray, God, that at this time in this service, that you will somehow open our minds and our understandings. Lord, that we might receive that which you have for us tonight. Let us be sensitive to your spirit. Let us be receptive to the word. Oh God, let us grasp the day and the hour that we're living in. Lord Jesus, we ask you to speak to our heart tonight in this service. We'll be so careful to praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' great name,
amen.
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 You may be seated.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
At the time and setting of this scripture, we find that the Lord was away apart from the multitude that he so often would allow to gather around him.
Yes.
So many times you find in the New Testament, especially in the four Gospels, you find that he would look on the multitude and would have compassion on them.
Right.
And he would begin to teach them. I remember one time when he was on the seashore, there was a ship near the shore. They began to crowd around him, and he just got off into one of those boats and pushed it out a little way, and he taught them from the boat.
Right.
Our Lord had compassion on the masses and on humanity. He had compassion, and he loved to teach them, and he loved to gather them to him as he would little children.
Right.
But this was a time that was different from that. This was a time when they were apart and away from the multitude. It said that they were on the Mount of Olives. And it said that the disciples came unto him privately.
Right.
This was a private conversation. The disciples many times, no doubt, had been there with him and heard him as he taught the multitude. But they had a private question that they wanted to ask the Lord, and they wanted a private answer. And so we see that the answer to that question, the important question of when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, came from the lips of Jesus. Now I believe that term, the end of the world, meant in the strictest sense of the word, the end of the age. Now there is going to come a time when Jesus is going to cease to delay his coming, and he shall come back. We are living in the end time.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
I said we're living in the end time. I would not be surprised if the Lord does not come in my generation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. I look for him to come.
Right.
I look for him to rapture his church out of here. Hallelujah to God. I believe that we are near the Lord today than we've ever been in our entire lives. He began to talk to them and to give them positive answers to that question about when and about what shall be the sign of his coming. The first response of the Lord was, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Friend, we're living in a day when you can hear just about anything you want to hear. We're living in a day when there are false prophets abounding on every hand. We're living in a day of compromise. And we're living in a day where there is a modern religion being taught that you don't have to do anything. Just come to the Lord and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your personal Savior. Sign a pledge card. Begin to pay tithes. And the Father is to it. But my friend, don't be deceived. There will be many deceivers in the last day. Hallelujah. Many people ask the question, preacher, tell me what is truth? What is truth? There is a modern theology that there is no sinners anymore, hardly.
Right.
That Jesus died for all, and that his blood covers every sin, and that we don't have to worry about anything. But let me tell you, friend, the Bible teaches us that a man must live godly in this present world. Hallelujah. We are living in the end time. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That's the truth, brother.
My father-in-law, Brother Tommy Johnson, tells about how that he was in a denominational church. I won't call any names tonight, but he was in that church. And before he ever became acquainted with Pentecost, and how that he just sort of drifted away. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in fact, they didn't even teach it. And he quit going to church each week. And he got into sin very deeply and began to drink and run around and got into gross sin. Some of the men from the church came to him and said, Tommy, come on back to the church. Said, you're a Christian. Said, you accepted the Lord one day. And said, you're all right. Said, come on back. You don't have to worry about anything. Don't even worry about going back to the altar. Anything. Just come on. You're all right. He told him, said, in his heart, I don't know if he told him or not, but anyway, he made up in his mind. If they think I'm all right, then I don't need that kind of a religion, because I know I am not all right.
Oh, God.
I know that I haven't got what it takes to go to heaven. Let me share with you tonight something that I ran across not too long ago concerning a survey that was taken of 7 major theological seminaries in our country. I want to show you some of the things that are being taught in our land and in our modern church world today. I want to show you what preachers that have been to theological seminaries are standing behind the pulpit of American churches and teaching their people. This is what is being taught. This survey was taken by the George Gallup Junior poll of 7 major theological seminaries around the United States, and the following answers were given to these questions. These questions were responded to by those people that were studying, people that would receive a degree and go into the pulpits of American churches. Here were the questions. Do you believe in the Genesis account of creation? Only 5% believes that there was an actual God that created the heavens and the earth, that God spoke the world into existence, leaving 95% that hell with the damnable theory of Darwin's theory of evolution, that we all evolved from a one-cell amoeba out of the ocean somewhere and came together on the land. And we began to multiply, and life came about that way. But oh, my friend, I look into God's book and I find in Genesis that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Oh, I believe the word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
5% only believe in the account of Genesis. showing Genesis' account of creation as being the way it really happened. Question number two, do you believe in the miracles of the Bible? Only 24% believed in the actual miracles of the Bible, leaving 76% that thought that they were types and metaphors and allegories of things that could happen and good stories and nice things to listen to. But oh, let me tell you, friends, we serve a God of miracles. We serve a God that can speak to a person that has a blind eye, and their blind eye can be opened. Hallelujah to God. I was touched the other day by the testimony of Brother Otto Hankins' wife, how that God miraculously healed her of cancer, and how God brought her through. You came too late to tell us that we're not serving a God of miracles. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. 76% don't believe in the miracles of the Bible. Question number three, do you believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God? Only 26% believe that this Word is infallible, that it was, in fact, the written Word of God. But, oh, my friend, let me tell you, I can hold to the truths that are written there. Hallelujah. I believe that the Word of God was written by holy men of old as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I believe, no matter what other people believe, I believe that Thy Word, O Lord, is forever settling down. It doesn't matter what atheistic ideas men come up with. I believe that God's Word is infallible. Hallelujah.
Right.
Praise God.
Right.
We're living in the end time.
Right.
That's what's being preached in our country today. That's the ideas that's being held by these so-called men of God that fill the desk, fill the pulpits of American churches today.
Oh,
all right. Question number four. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Only 25% believed in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, leaving 75% that did not believe that He was born of a virgin maid. They believed that He was a product of an illicit affair with some Roman soldier and a person that fell into illicit sin. But oh, my friend, I believe that the account found in Matthew that was prophesied by Isaiah that was foretold long ago. I believe that that which was in her was of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let the skeptics say it's not so, but I still believe it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Question number six. Do you believe in the literal burning hell? Only 11% believed in a literal burning hell. Jesus spoke more about hell than He did heaven. Jesus preached more about a place of torment, a place of punishment, a place of total destruction, a place where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He gave many accounts. He gave that account of the rich man and Lazarus. Oh, yes, I believe there's a hell. I believe there's a place that's prepared for the wicked. I believe there's a place that's prepared for those that reject God. I'll take the Word of God any day. There are those that believe that hell is the grave. But, oh, my friend, there is a place of the damned, and that place is called hell. Praise God.
Oh God.
Question number six. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Only 18% believe that Christ rose from the dead, leaving 82% that didn't even believe that He rose from the dead. 18% is all that believed in the resurrection. When I can hear the words of Paul when he said, if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain. Oh, my friend, He is risen. He is not in that empty tomb. Oh, yes, He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. He conquered it all. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. The last of these questions, do you believe that God still answers prayer today? Only 21% believe that God answered prayer today. 79% didn't believe that a man could get on his knees before God and cry out to a God of mercy. But oh, my friend, I believe that His ear is tuned to our every need. Oh, yes, His hand is not shut that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Hallelujah to God. He hears the cry of the righteous man of God. He hears the cry of the penitent sinner. He hears the cry of those in need of healing. Hallelujah. Oh, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory. We're living in the last days. We're living in the end time. Oh, yes. And my attention is turned to verse 7 and 8 of our scripture text at this time. It said, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Oh, these are the beginnings of sorrow. Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. The elements are stirred up. We just passed one of the most severe winters that this world has known in over 100 years. Oh, yes, we have. And this summer has been one of the hottest, most humid summers in 40 years in some places in the United States. Friend, this thing is winding up. Amen. We are living in the end time. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know who I want to be serving. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow in the power of His hand. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want to read you another account that I ran across in April of 76. This came out in the Monroe Morning World. I clicked it out. I don't carry a bunch of newspaper clippings. I've got two that I have in my Bible. This is one of them. It said, a CIA report warns of global upheaval. And friend, this is just as up to date as the morning newspaper. Amen. I said, this is just as up to date. This clipping and this word of God in Matthew 24 is just as up to date as the morning newspaper, because it was prophetic by the Lord that all of these things were going to take place, and then the end was going to come. All right, listen, it said a CIA report warns of global political and economical upheaval almost beyond comprehension. Global, that's around the world. Political and economical upheaval, everything is in disarray. Almost beyond comprehension. The CIA is a central intelligence agency of our federal government. This is not just one little crackpot idea that was propagated by somebody that was on a tangent. This was a official report of the government. Listen. It said, because of this all happened, and that there was upheaval almost beyond comprehension, because of climatic changes that have already occurred. Did you hear me? Climatic changes in the atmosphere that have already taken place that cannot be reversed. There's a bunch of people in high places that are disturbed in the economical scene and in the political scene. They're very upset over it. Why? Because they know that it can bring chaos and confusion to our world almost beyond the comprehension of the human mind. The report says that the world, here's what the report was all about. Listen carefully. The world has entered a period of adverse weather that will reduce crop production and trigger widespread famine and starvation.
That's
That's what the world has entered. It has entered a period because of the climatic changes. Let me tell you, every time I drive by one of these white cotton fields that's full, and the rain comes, and I see it sitting out there rotting in the pond, I wonder, God, I know that this is something else that's just pointing us toward the end time. It's pointing us toward your soon coming. Every time I drive past a wheat field that they can't get the combine out in the wheat field because of the weather, I know, God, you've got your hand on this somehow. And God, I know you're going to come back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Listen, friend, the reports that the world is entered a period of adverse weather that will reduce crop production and trigger widespread famine and starvation. The unfavorable weather is likely to last for at least 40 years.
Oh, God.
And possibly for centuries, the report said. What's happening? Here's what's happening. Based on a study by Dr. Reed A. Bison of the University of Wisconsin, the report states that long-term changes in the weather may cause a major drought in India every 4 years, resulting in the starvation of 150 million persons. Think about it. 150 million cities the size of Memphis, Tennessee, every 4 years, be completely wiped out because they starved to death because there wasn't enough food on the earth to feed them. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you what they are worried about in high places. They're looking towards the prophecy in Matthew 24 where it said, there shall be famine and pestilence. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, this is just as up to date as the morning newspaper. Praise God. All right, listen. It said a major famine in China every 5 years could take place because of this adverse weather condition. Somebody said, well, that's just coincidence. You got up a while ago and said there's an angel that controls the weather. I believe it. I believe that God has assigned powers that control the rain, the wind, all of those things. Somebody said it don't make any difference to God whether the wind blows hard or soft. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I believe the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Oh, yes. I believe everything is fitly framed together. And I believe that God has His hand on every situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. It said, every 5 years in China, there could be a famine in the loss of Soviet wheat fields in Russia. The report will not be made public until Monday, but a copy was obtained by the Associated Press. The change of the climate is cooling. Here's what's taking place. This is just a little bit of clipping. It didn't give much. I've read more in Time and different places since that time. All right. The change of the climate is cooling some significant agricultural areas and causing drought in others. If, for example, there's a northern hemisphere temperature drop of 1 degree centigrade, it could mean that India will have a major drought every 4 years and can only support 3/4 of her present population. The world reserve would have to supply 30 to 50 million metric tons of grain each year to prevent the death of 150 million Indians. That's where we're living. We're living in the end time. We're living in the closing days of time. Oh, my friend, I remember when I was a little boy, I'd walk away from the sun in the western horizon, and I'd walk toward the east, and my shadow would grow long. And as the sun would go further down beyond the horizon, my shadow would get longer and longer. Oh, my friend, we're living in the day of the lengthening shadow. Oh, yes, this old world is about to come to a close. This age that we're living in before the second coming of the Lord, that's where we're living. Praise God. Praise God. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Let me tell you tonight, my friend, we've got to be ready. I said we've got to be ready. We've got to live ready. Praise God. I said, we've got to live ready because he could come at any moment. He could come any time. Please stand, will you? I want to tell you something tonight. I've heard it said and expressed. It's a common phrase. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so do I. But we might as well face facts. Brother Wilson, he's not going to say, well done, my good servant, if we haven't been a good servant. God cannot lie. We can talk ourselves into believing things that are not altogether right. And I'm not condemning tonight. I want you to back off and take a look at yourself. It's sometimes so very easy for me to see others, but it's hard for me to focus my attention on myself and say, oh boy, you need some self-improvement. You need to knock off a few of your rough edges. You need to shape up a few places. Yeah, I know, it hurts. But you've got to do it, my friend, if you ever expect to hear him say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, well done, unless you've done well. Did you hear me? I said, he's not going to say, well done, unless we have done well. He'll not say, we've been a good servant. If we've not been a good servant, Peter, can he say that we've been a faithful servant?